Something's definitely going on inside me, so I've no idea where this is going. Ha! Anyway, we really love you, Lord, and we want you to do whatever you want to do. Okay, so the end of the Lord's Prayer says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And I kind of am going backwards on this because I started with the glory, as you know, a few weeks ago, but I'm going to talk about power today. here we go. Now, in the scripture, there are two words which are often translated power. One is Greek words, I mean. One is exousia, which means authority and having the executive power. That's where we get the word executive from. I know I said that recently. But just to reinforce that, I'm not going to look at that one today. I'm looking at the other one, which is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. And in the Strong's it says, ability, this is the word that is, the concept that is being translated in the word dunamis, in the word power. Ability, force, abundance of strength, violence, mighty wonderful works, the miraculous, and can do. In actual fact, can do was the first thing, I think, on the list. It's such a modern thought, isn't it? Can do, no can do. There it is, 1800 and something. Power is God's ability to do. He can do it. And power takes you out into the supernatural. It's outside of normal, natural, physical laws that everybody understands. Okay. So when Paul is on Malta and a snake, which the locals know to be venomous and will kill him, latches onto his hand and bites him, the fact that he doesn't die, they attribute to the fact that he must be God. Because they know it's a natural law. That snake bites you, you're dead. But he doesn't die. And so they say, oh, he must be a God. He is somebody who's working outside of the natural order of things. And if you think about Jesus' life, he lived his whole life in that place where he's doing things that couldn't be done. Walking on water, feeding 5,000, turning water into wine, whatever it is he's doing. And I believe with all my heart that we are in a time when we are moving corporately into a time of power. Now, Jenny and Barbara and Jerry went to up to Dudley and heard Chuck Pierce speaking, and I've only just seen a little bit of the video, but the thing he said was exactly what he said, what Rachel said when she came here. You guys know how to break through. You know how to go up. We did it this morning. But you don't know how to bring the manifestation of the power down. So you can break through and break through and break through, and we do break through. Amazingly, very often. But we do not see very much of God's power in this place. I do not mean that to sound condemning. I don't feel like that about it. But I've recently read two books where they said you can tell if you're really moving in the power of God. Has anybody blind been healed? Anybody deaf been healed? Have you seen anybody raised from the dead? Deliverance? What's happening in your church? And we have to put our hand on our heart and say it's intermittent with us. Now, I know that ask you to give a testimony of the power of God on your life, and most of you would be able to stand up and say, I have seen the power of God move in whatever it is. I've put some here. Healing. We had Siobhan, marvelously healed, wonderfully healed, and many of the rest of you have also been healed. I also have been supernaturally healed. I know Chris came back from America with a testimony about having been prayed for, been healed. Many of us have been healed. Many of us have had supernatural touches of God's power on our physical being that changed physical well-being. That's why I wanted to move into that healing this morning, because of the word I was going to bring. We can't just break through and have God say, I want to heal you. Yes. Come on then. Let's mix that with our faith and our activity, which is, okay, we'll pray for each other. There are several people in this church who have told me, they were very unwise to do so, that God has told them that they're going to have a healing ministry, or that they should pray for the sick. Well, get on with it. Sorry, but they're some of the most reluctant people to pray for anybody. You know, why are we not mixing what God says to us with faith? We have to have faith, like Noel was saying, about the word that's inside you that you can't shake off. You've got to do it. And yes, it may take supernatural power to enable you to step into that, but that's where we're going. And the interesting thing about us as a company is that we are a company. And God doesn't seem to want, however much I nag, to break any individual through without the others. We're going together. And there's no running ahead. And some people are breaking through, but they're breaking through so all of us will. It's not like, well, that's that person's anointing and powerful ministry, and off they go and do that, and, you know, we'll support them. We'll carry the bags or do whatever it is that's required. Quite often it's hold a camera, actually, when you're around anointed people. But he wants us all to be anointed with power. Now, it could look different for you than it does for me. I can almost certainly say it will. But you are called to move in the supernatural power of God. How else is the world going to know that Jesus is Lord? They're not going to know, are they? Oh, you know, but Moses, when God said, well, you know, I'll send an angel with you, but I'm not coming. Moses said, no. How will any of the other people know that we're a different people if we haven't got you with us? And it's not about you. Of course, you know that. It's about the supernatural power of God that he wants to display for his glory. And because he loves people. I went into a hospital and someone was very sick. And I was praying for healing. And afterwards, somebody else said to me, I don't think we should be so focused on the power gifts. I think we should be, you know, more praying about, I don't know quite what. But anyway, and I said, if you'd stood there with me beside her bed, you'd have prayed for a power gift. My goodness, she's dying. What are we thinking? That we can just, you know... There's this lovely statement, isn't it? Don't seek God's hand. Seek his face. Don't seek his hand. More love, intimacy, his face, more power. You can't. What do you think? Do you think you can have intimacy and no power? You think that's possible? Do you think you can have power and no intimacy? Think that's possible? So if you seek, and some of us know that, we know people who can move in power because God, the gifting and calling of God is irrevocable, and people can be in a place where they have received a download from God because of their faith level, but actually their intimacy with God is minimal. I know one personally who... I don't know him personally, but I know his testimony, which he's given publicly, which was that he was the prophet, is the prophet at Toronto. And when it began to really break out in Toronto, the power of his prophetic gifting was just awesome. And he could just prophesy over all these people who came from all over the world and give these amazing prophetic words. And he said, and inside I was dead. Dead, dead, dead. But he said, nobody ever prayed for me because I'm the prophet. But he said, inside I knew that my life with God was not right. And he said, I had to go somewhere else where they didn't know me and sit in a congregation where nobody had any expectation of me. He said, and somebody came up to me and said, I need to just prophesy into your life. He said, if they'd known who I was, they wouldn't have opened their mouth. But he said, I needed them. Because you must have intimacy and the power running together. Otherwise, you are an empty vessel. You may be a very spectacular and sparkly vessel, but you're a... and you know it. You know it. So, I've just looked at some of the places where we're breaking through. I believe that God has been breaking through in worship. Don't you? Last week with those youngsters, absolutely incredible. Bless you. Absolutely amazing. And not just that they are in worship together, but who they are together as a group. God is putting his power into that, putting his touch on that. It's awesome. Sorry you weren't here to hear them. They were amazing. Three of them led worship. Absolutely incredible. And in prayer, we've been having some amazing prayer meetings, particularly Thursday mornings, and breaking through, absolutely breaking through. But not just Thursday mornings, because we have been praying the Nehemiah gates in the prayer meeting. We did the last one this week in the Tin Church, and we've been praying for the youngsters. When Nod said, we're going to pray around the Nehemiah gates for the young people, I was like, what? What's that going to look like? How's that going to be? It's been awesome, and the youngsters have been transformed as we pray. So God is breaking through in prayer. I really encourage you to come to the prayer meetings. I've been saying that for 50 years. Who knows, somebody might actually listen eventually. But honestly, the prayer meetings are amazing, and when they're not, it's probably because you're not there. Come and be part of the answer. Come and be part of the answer. Bring life into everything you do. You know, believe that God is in you. By his power, he can change a thing. I believe that. I really believe that. I don't believe that we're stuck with anything. I believe that God can do something in us that is powerful. I want you to read Luke 5:17. This is our lovely Lord Jesus. One day, as he was teaching Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and they were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. The power of the Lord was present. And so he's not moving out of his own anointing, which, of course, he does on hundreds of occasions. So much so, Luke says that if it were to be written down everything he did, the world couldn't contain the books. So much he's doing. But this is different. This is so different that Luke has to mention it. The power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. Anybody been in a meeting where the power of the Lord was present? Not just to heal the sick, but where you can say the power of the Lord was there. I've seen the power of the Lord hit the worship team. We were away on a weekend, and the whole worship team just were poleaxed, and they were all on the floor. Jonathan Stevens under his guitar. And They were just, oh, the power of the Lord hit them. Pow! You know, it says in Scripture, the slain of the Lord were many. I've seen that. I've seen the power of the Lord being present. Anybody want to put their hand up and say, yes, I've seen that? Yes, do it again, Lord. Do more. Do more. I want you, as I speak about these things, I want you to get hold of them in your heart and begin to pray for them. If we can pray around the Nehemiah gates because God said so, and see the young people change because we prayed for them on a regular basis, you don't think that we can see a breakthrough in power if we ask? Let's ask. Be stirred to faith this morning. If nothing else, revelation without transformation. Or, in this case, a manifestation is just information. I say just because it still has power in it, actually, because it's a revelation from God, and it could, you know, leap up and bite you another time. But it is actually, we have to have manifestation. I want to stir you to say, oh God, you have promised power onto your people. I've got so many scriptures on that. I don't know how many we'll get to. But I have an expectation that amongst the company that I am in, we will come together into seeing the power of God. Like I say, different for different ones. I saw the power of God once. We were in Portugal. We'd gone as a mission team. And Benny Hinn was, whatever you think of Benny, I know he is a showman, but I honestly believe he carries God. He was on stage and he said, I've got a word of knowledge. Is there an Italian here? Well, there were lots of Portuguese and lots of people from lots of different nations, but anybody Italian? Not really. So he says, I've got a word for somebody Italian. So then this guy's wandering around with a television camera on his shoulder and he's, you know, videoing. So Benny said, are you Italian? So this guy said, yes. So he says, come up here. So he comes up the steps with the video camera on his shoulder, still videoing, and Benny went, in Jesus' name. And honestly, I heard it as it moved out of his hand towards that man. It was like, shoo. As he went across the stage and the guy fell down the stairs, television, camera, everything, because it just hit him. The power of God just hit him. Now, I don't think Benny, that it's just Benny. I believe it's us. The power of the Lord present to touch a life, to change a life. Believe it. Believe it. Because he wants to do it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5:4. Let's look at this one. Okay, we'll start at 3 actually. Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. Anybody experienced that? You're not physically present, but you know you're there in spirit. And I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, do this. The power of our Lord Jesus is present. These are the conditions for when this is going to happen. When you know I'm there with you in spirit, though I'm not there physically. We don't know anything yet, do we? Really? When you are assembled in the name of Jesus, which we were this morning, and I am with you in spirit. How do you know that? How would you know that? And the power of the Lord Jesus is present. You can have assemblies where the power of the Lord Jesus is present, not just to heal. I think God wants it to be normal. the Corinthians were a right old lot, you know. I mean, they were the most fleshy of all the churches, but the presence of God amongst them was awesome. As they believed. They believed. Begin to believe. So, these are some of the breakthroughs we've been having, and these are all manifestations of God's power, I believe. We've had breakthroughs in worship, breakthroughs in prayer, breakthroughs for Lorraine. Lorraine had a breakthrough recently, not just the one with the sword, which we love you, Lorraine. Go for it, girl. Nard has been breaking through into revelation of new creation life. Neil also has had a breakthrough into fresh revelation, haven't you? Yes. The young people have come into unity and God's reality, and we are going to have a corporate breakthrough. I believe it. I believe it's what God wants to do amongst us. That he doesn't... My experience is if you get somebody very significant in a church, significantly anointed with power, everybody else steps back into insignificance and says, well, I'm not them, so I'm not much. But God doesn't want that for us here. He wants us to go together. Everybody is significant here. There's going to be a corporate breakthrough into power. Okay. As I began to study this, I began to think about God being almighty. The translation of almighty is having all possible power. And you all know that. You all know he's omnipotent. I can stand up here and I can say, God is omnipotent. Yes. Actually, he is. He has all possible power. And if we can get plugged in, what will we not see? Healings and miracles and wonders and, you know, wow. And like I said before, it comes and it grows and it is out of an intimacy with him. So that you're full up inside with him. So that you love him and you honor and adore him. So that when he does something amazing through you, you don't get puffed up in your own conceit. Because it's him and you know it's him. That's what he wants to do. Omnipotent God. So, Genesis 17, 1, we just quickly run through these because I want you to know that this is who he is. He changed his name, you see. In the beginning, he's Genesis 17, 1, I am God Almighty, he declares to Abraham. I am God Almighty. You imagine the voice that comes with. How Abraham's knees were going. God Almighty, having all possible power. It's translated from El Shaddai. Okay? Genesis 35:11. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, increase in number. We'd love it if God said that to us. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, increase in number. Yes, Lord. Don't know how that's going to happen. You're going to do that. You're going to increase the numbers. So here he is. He says, I am God Almighty. Exodus 6:2. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord, that is Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Now you know the name of the Lord. I am that I am. Or I will be what I will be, is another translation. Yahweh. I am that I am. He's changing his name from El Shaddai, I'm God Almighty, to I am that I am. And there's a key in that. And I haven't fully unlocked it. But I know that in the scriptures, when God begins to talk about being almighty, he is also doing so from a revelation that he is God and he's your God. He's not just this almighty God that the nations around look at and he says, oh, their God is almighty. He is a personal God. He is a God who loves you. He is a God who is absolutely intimately related to you. But in that, you can lose the almightiness. You can use the fact that he is incredible and can do anything. And we have to have both. We have to have it absolutely intrinsic to us that we know that there's nothing too hard for him. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for me. Nothing. It's too hard for me. And as we get hold of it, do you remember Nard stood up here? I'm not sure if she sang it, but the Holy Spirit came on her and she began to speak or sing. I can't remember. I am almighty. I am almighty. I am almighty. I am almighty. And I'm going to show you that I'm almighty. Anybody investing in that in prayer? Because I am saying, okay, Lord, you've said you're going to show us your almightiness. I expect that to happen. Because you are God Almighty. You are El Shaddai. And there are, time's going, there are moments when the fact that he is almighty is talked about in Scripture. Let's look at Ezekiel 1:24. Now, this is the glory of God again. We looked at this, didn't we? Last time I spoke. But this is verse 24. When the creatures moved, you have to go back and read about the creatures if you don't know about them, but they're these awesome creatures that are around God. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of the wings of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty. When there's a move of the Spirit, you can have the voice of the Almighty amongst you. And you have to respond. When we're worshiping, guys, and God begins to say something to you, which he well might. He might say to you, stand up and say this, or go over to that person and pray, or do whatever. I don't know. You have to listen to the sound of the voice of the Almighty in the midst. He's almighty. Oh, Revelation 1:15. Remember what that said? That said it sounded like rushing water. His feet, this is Jesus, as he appears in Revelation, were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. I understand that if you put a sound meter, what's that called? A sound meter. Anyway, if you put something that measures sound next to Niagara Falls, it goes all the way off the scale this way onto the high notes that we can't hear, and all the way off the scale this way onto low notes we can't hear. The voice of the Almighty, like rushing water, inaudible to your natural ear, but I believe your spirit can hear him when he's speaking. Let's look at this scripture. Karen mentioned this scripture when she spoke recently. This is Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So this is what the Lord is drawing us into. This kind of worship, where we ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And you can't do that, I don't believe, in your natural man. That's why Jesus said, you have to worship in the spirit and in the truth. And I think Karen was talking about that, or somebody was, about worshiping in the spirit and in the truth. And I was thinking, Lord, I really want to do that. I want to give myself to that kind of worship. How do you do that? And he said, I gave you the Holy Spirit for that. Because it has to be in the spirit. You can't do it. You have to be in the spirit. So you rely on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, like this morning, took me into a place I've never been before. In the spirit. Give yourself to the spirit so that you can ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Because we're going to go places we've never been. In the spirit, in worship. As you do that, it says this. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Rushing water. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Power in his voice. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashings of lightning. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oak and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. That's where you're led to, where you begin to engage with the voice of the Lord and his powerful voice. You begin to come into a place where you are utterly unable to say anything except glory. Where the fear of the Lord comes on you. When I studied the scriptures on God being almighty, I ended up on the floor. Absolutely, the fear of the Lord was on me and I worshipped. Because he's almighty. His voice, when his voice sounds, the voice of the almighty. Oh God, I know I'm talking about it and I don't know if we've experienced it. I don't know if I've experienced it, but I know it's coming. A voice that thunders, that shakes the ground, that is not gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but the sound of his voice will get a hold of us and take us into power. Take us into mighty and incredible and wonderful things. Because he's God, because you are God, Lord, because you are almighty God. And you move in power and in authority. Oh, it's incredible, isn't it? In Revelation, there are 8 references to God being almighty and powerful. We won't look at them. There's a big gap from Genesis to Revelation. There are references to the Almighty in other bits of Scripture, but Genesis, he's God Almighty. Revelation, he's Almighty. And is a manifestation of him in Revelation, in his almightiness. And I love it. Mark 14:62. This is Jesus. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. An alternative translation to that is Jesus said, I am Yahweh. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, the Almighty. Where are we seated, guys? We're seated with him. And he sits at the right hand of the hand of power, the right hand of power. Ah. He is at the right hand of El Shaddai. And so are we. Now, I don't know how you feel power will manifest, whether we have any clue. It says exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or think, doesn't it? I think that the manifestations of power here will be different to anything I've seen. I don't expect it to be the same. Though I can tell you lots of stories of power, but that isn't it. It's him. It's him in us doing what he wants to do. Healing. Deliverances. Signs and wonders. Expressions of supernatural power. Maybe even walking on water. Heidi certainly has had lots and lots of experiences of multiplication of food. Supernatural power. Okay, so now I've got 3 pages of things that I absolutely have to say, but the time is gone. So, we're not going to do that, much as I'd love to, but we're going to pray. Okay, how about if we pray for each other rather than me pray for you all? Gather together, 2s, 3s, 4s, whatever you like, and pray that there will be a manifestation of the power of God on each other's lives. Pray for each other.